This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hail, you heroes, hawks, heralds, crows, pirates, and wardens. Welcome to the Dragon Age Lorecast, where we unpack, discuss, and galaxy brain about all the lore behind the Dragon Age series.
We are so excited to bring you this podcast. Every episode, we'll be talking about a different topic in the Dragon Age universe, from character deep dives to exalted marches and elven gods. We will cover it all.
There will be spoilers. And always remember, swooping is bad.
Hello and welcome to the Dragon Age Lorecast, where we talk about Dragon Age and its lore. I'm one of your hosts, Austin, also known as Teacup.
And I'm your other host, Shelby or SheCup.
And it is that time for us to have our monthly patron chat. Woo! And so we are here with our lovely patrons, which we will let them introduce themselves. First, we have the Crimson Knight.
Hello, hello.
And then LVCC13.
Hello, everybody.
And then Capricorn Tower.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you all for being here tonight. We have a very, very fun topic, a topic that we kind of have talked about before, but not really, because it is slightly different. Well, Shelby, what is that topic?
So our topic for today is, best and worst romances. So, like Austin just said, that is pretty similar to a topic we had way back when, but there's a pretty major difference here. So we've discussed favorite and least favorite romances in the past. Today, we are discussing best and worst romances. Now, you might be thinking, listeners out there, that's literally the same thing. Well, when I say best and worst, we mean objectively, what you think is actually like the best written, the best directed, the best animated romance out there, and worst. Now, you might be a big, big fan of Harding's romance, but I think we can all agree that is probably not one of the best, objectively speaking, just because there's not much there. So what we're trying to consider today is objectively the best and worst romances. And I see Austin has a question.
I know we brushed on this topic a little bit when we did our Valentine's episode with the two girls. And so I have this question that's left over from that. Are the friend mance and rival mance different romances?
I feel like that can be up for discussion.
I think so.
Because that affects my answer, and I will shock the entire world.
Okay, I'm really scared. Okay, well then let's just say yes, we will consider romancing as a friend versus rival different, just for the sake of the conversation. So I'm just going to read the list of characters that are romanceable that I came up with. We're not going to include origin romances from Origins just because there's, you know, they're really more just like a fling than anything else. So other than that, I think I have everyone, but if I've forgotten one, y'all just correct me and let me know. So we have Alistair, Liliana, Morrigan, and Zevran from Origins. We have Anders, Fenris, Isabella, Meryl, and Sebastian from Dragon Age 2. And then we have Blackwall, Iron Bull, Cassandra, Cullen, Dorian, Josephine, Sarah, Solas, and Harding from Inquisition. Is there anyone that I have forgotten?
Sebastian doesn't count.
Why not?
That's not a romance. That's a joke.
I mean, according to the Dragon Age Keep, it is a romance. I don't disagree with you. I don't particularly like it. But yeah, we're going to include that one. Sorry, Lizzie. All right. So who wants to go first in best, what they think is the best romance?
Oh, you don't want to start with the drama?
No, we're saving the drama for part two, obviously.
I guess I'll go ahead and go. I had narrowed it down to a couple, but I think I'm going to go with Morrigan as the best. Now, of course, with it being Origins, the romance scenes and everything are absolutely horrible. But just the characterization of Morrigan and how she can soften up over time throughout the game. And then, of course, at believe it's Redcliffe, I can't remember, when you have the dark ritual with her. Like, you have that, and you can also convince her to just have a regular child, which is another twist on it. And then you also have the DLC where you can track her down, and if you want, you can follow her into the Illuvian. I just think that with everything that happens in that game, it's just such a great romance overall.
I do very much agree that, especially when you take Witch Hunt, the DLC, into consideration, her romance is phenomenal. It would definitely be in the running for me if and only if she was romanceable by either gender. That, for me, would take it over the top. But I definitely agree with you. It's easily, for me, the best objective romance in Origins. Who wants to go next?
You can go next.
Go ahead.
And yeah. I also had a thought while Stephen was talking. I wonder, because part of my answer is going to lead into this. I think the romances that narratively have a lot to do with the plot, or potentially have a lot to do with the plot, tend to be the better romances. Because looking at Origins with Morrigan, like you said, it's so important to the story, potentially what happens, that being in a romance with Morrigan really enhances the entire plot line of the game. And I kind of think that that is also true with my answer, which is really ironic because I don't like this romance. I hate this romance. It's a great story, however, is the Solas romance in Inquisition. Narratively, especially considering they threw it in at the last minute, they weren't going to do this. Having a Llewellyn Inquisitor fall in love with the whole reason there's a freaking hole in the sky. Because yes, Corypheus is the one who did it, but we all know whose fault it really is. It's the potential angst for the next game with that. Just, and also just narratively in Inquisition itself. It's so good. It's fantastic storytelling, and that's what I really like about romances. That's why I read romances, when the storytelling is really good.
Yeah, I so much agree with that. Solace's romance is so good in so many ways. I do have some slight issues with it, but like, you are so correct that the fact that they did throw it in near the end of development is crazy for like literally the quality of how good, how well written that romance is. It always surprises me to remember that fact. All right. Austin, do you want to go next? I know Nick wants to go last.
Yeah. So I had really hard time picking the best because there really are like tied for three in my mind. And ironically, I think that narratively Inquisition has the best romances just as a character. And I also feel like I'm judging this on another thing of not just like storytelling and like romance scene, but also like how realistic would this romance survive in a real world situation? Like, and I feel that the Inquisition characters are the only ones out of all companions who are emotionally in a state where they can have a beneficial, not codependent relationship. So my top three are Cullen, Cassandra, and Dorian are my top three. And I think if I had to pick, I would go with Cullen just because I think the narrative of taking someone who we have had like several interactions across all three games with, to take him from, especially if you romance him as a mage, and you take him from the point where he is from origins to who he becomes at the end, denying Lyrium, all of that is just a very, very complete narrative for me. And so I think Cullen would take the best objective romance for me, if you convince him to continue not taking Lyrium.
It's a big if, though.
If you not don't, really. You're I know.
No, yeah, for sure. I actually don't know of anyone who actually makes Cullen continue taking Lyrium, at least in their canon run. I know people who have done it just to like see what happens, but like I don't know anyone who does that for their canon Inquisitor. Which, fair, you shouldn't. But. Yeah, so for me, I do agree with you, Austin. I think those three and Solace, like, they're just really, really well done. And I just feel like there are some romances where, like, they're up here. There's a high caliber, and then there's some that are just not as good. Like, they can still be fun and fine, but it's just clear sometimes the writing isn't as excellent. But for me, I think the best romance in Dragon Age is Dorian's. And there are so many reasons. The way that we have a person finally from Teventer that's a companion, right? That's not what you would expect from Teventer, but also kind of exactly what you would expect from Teventer, right? And just the whole narrative with his father is so real for so many people. And the ability to choose and like influence the relationship he has with his dad also is super key to the romance. And I think also like, there are so many ways his story, his romance specifically influences, again, the plot, like you were saying, Lizzie, and maybe not like directly or as directly as Solace's does, but, you know, especially with Dreadwolf going to Teventer, assumedly at least, his story just, it's just so important to the lore. And it's just also really well done. And I think that another thing that I love about Dorian's character, but also his romance, is that like he's not a perfect person and he doesn't necessarily pretend to be either. And so there are major flaws that he has that as the Inquisitor, you can kind of help him be like, no, slavery is really a bad thing. Like, you know, he has some serious character flaws, and yet they made a really compelling romance. And so to me, it's top tier.
You know, Dorian was probably the one that I was thinking of at the top of my head coming into this. Agree with all of the things said. I feel like he grows as a person as a result of the relationship. And I think that's really touching. If I'm thinking sort of like in terms of like almost tropes, but not like in a bad way, I suppose, I do think the Alistair romance is pretty compelling. It's very cute, first of all. It's a very adorable romance, very first love vibes. It also has an aspect of tragedy to it that I think is pretty interesting, especially, particularly if you are playing as Elf Warden and you're not able to be with him freely. And I feel like in that particular instance, I think the better choice is for you to just break up with him if he becomes king, because I feel like, and I think that adds to the storytelling of the whole situation, if you're like, I wish we could be together, but we can't because of society or whatever. It's very Romeo and Juliet in that sort of respect, except, you know, everyone's actually an adult and can consent to things.
I almost think, though, with the Alistair romance, as much as I love my canon playthrough where Mike Guzlan marries him at the end, I think narratively it's almost more interesting to sacrifice yourself for him. I think it's so beautifully tragic, but I do think that it would probably change his character a little bit more than we see in later games. But I've also never done that. Like, I never sacrificed my warden. I'm like, no, my person is living. I got put through all this shit. There's no way that my character does not make it out of this alive. I better find out that my warden is happy and healthy and the calling has been cured by the end of Dragon Age 4, or I'm going to flip a table. But narratively, I think that that would be, it's a not necessarily a better story, but could be potentially more interesting and impactful on Thetis as a whole. Because it'd be really interesting to see what a very depressed Alistair does as king, as terrible as that might sound.
Yeah, and I think that also goes to the idea that I feel like Alistair's romance, particularly in Origins, is the most fleshed out because there's so many different ways it can end. Like, we all know, like, the king and queen ending, and that's, like, goals or whatever. But if you're not playing as a human, then there's a lot of different ways this can turn out. You either sacrifice yourself, he sacrificed himself. That's an option that I've seen happen. Or you stay on as his mistress, which just feels kind of not right, especially since they're both so young, and to already be forced in that kind of like political relationship, just, it's sad. And I think as a sad romance, Alistair, I think, is top tier.
Or being wardens together, which can be even more tragic, potentially.
True.
Given the events of Inquisition.
Oh my god, yes.
I had never actually thought about romancing Alistair and both of you staying wardens. Like, that sounds terrible, just given what we know. Yikes. All right, well, I think we can go to the mid-break, and then we'll come back and maybe have some hot takes.
So you like to read? What's wrong with that?
It's frivolous. There are more important things for me to do.
That's just her favorite.
Nobody asked you, Tevinter.
I couldn't finish the last one you lent me. I actually feel dumber for having tried.
It's literature. Smutty literature. Whatever you do, don't tell Varric.
No offense, but might I try? I've got a quick hand, after all. Ha, let's see. Oh, when was the last time I slipped my hand into some dark hole? I remember, long story that.
You hurt my head sometimes, Solas.
Yes. I have been known to do that.
All right. Well, welcome to the middle of the show, where we take time to thank our patrons, like all of our patrons here. Thank you to all of our patrons. A special thank you to our first-time patrons, which were Genesis and Lisa M. We also have a new patron to shout out. And our new patron, Christian, who just signed up, thank you so much for signing up. If you'd like to become a patron, you can do so at going to patreon.com/DALorecast and signing up there for tiers and coming on these chats with us, which if you sign up at the first enchanter tier or higher, you will come on. You are welcome to come on these episodes with us. We greatly appreciate that support. Another great way to support us is to leave us ratings and reviews on Apple and Spotify. If you leave us 5 stars and kind words, we'll read them out on the future episode of the show. And today I have a comment from Sabrina L. on our Templar episode. And Sabrina says, I just wanted to say thank you for making this podcast. I do a lot of mindless work with numbers, and my days have been going so much faster playing this while I work. Love you guys. So yes, thank you for that review. Thank you so much for posting that. If you'd like your review read out, go on to our episodes or Apple and leave us a 5-star rating and we'll read it out. Lastly, you can come hang out with us on the Discord. We all are. We talk about lots of things. Dragon Age, lament that Dragon Age Dreadwolf has not come out yet, even though we're supposed to get news in the summer. But who knows what that news will be. And then lastly, I think that's it that I got going on. Join the Discord. You can hang out with us.
Get merch from our shop.
Yeah. Personally, the Grey Warden hoodie looks amazing. Or sweatshirt. With that said, I think we can get back to getting to our hot takes.
Abominations are always so awkward at family reunions. Have you ever seen an abomination? They are ugly.
Dorian, those words you say, what do they mean?
What, you mean like mendicant? Ultimatum?
No arse when you're mad. Vishanti Kofas. You're swearing, I know it.
Vishanta Kofas. It's Tavine, relics of the old tongue. We still use the colourful phrases.
And it means what?
Literally, you shit on my tongue.
You fear barbarians will swoop down upon you.
Yes, swooping is bad.
Okay, well, we may not actually have hot takes. We'll see. We'll see how much we all disagree. So let's get into it. Okay, so objectively worst romances. Who has thought? Okay, Austin, go right ahead, buddy.
All right. So my objectively worst romance comes from DA2. And because I asked earlier in the show, it is a rival manse. And it is Fenris's rival manse is the worst romance in the entire game series. It is just some of the rival manses kind of give that, you know, like, or saying to Shadowheart as a Salune cleric, kiss me like you hate me. Like they give that kind of vibes. But Fenris's rival manse is just, I don't like the romances that force a character to completely change who they are. And I feel like the rival manse with Fenris is like pushing his views on magic and denying his trauma and then entering into a sexual relationship with that, which I just find gross and not great. And I mean, similarly with Sarah's romance is in that same vein, in that you cannot be a Dalish like adhering elf and romance Sarah.
Just the things that you have to say to Fenris in order to get enough rivalry with him are just atrocious. It is possible to just do things he disagrees with, which I think is not as bad, but you usually have to talk down to him in some way, and I just, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's definitely, I've done the rivalmance version of it. I usually go with the, just from my actions, like being a very pro-mage hawk, but I never speak disrespectfully on purpose, because it's sarcastic hawk, so you never know what's going to come out of their mouth. But, like, just, it's not my favorite version of the romance, for sure. And I do agree with you that the rival manse and the friendship manse are completely different things, but excuse me, I think it really depends on how you play it. But yeah, it's not the best one. Dragon Age 2 romances, as much as I love them and love the game, they're really not the best.
They should have had a Varric romance. What could have been?
Where is the Varric romance? Where is it?
They said no. Yeah, who wants to go next?
I suppose in that vein, with DA2 having the worst romances, mine was going to be Isabella, who I like to romance as a male hawk or whoever, but I feel like my headcanon fills in a lot of the story there, because the text by itself is just her being like, no, I don't do this sort of thing. I just have sex. And then you're just like, oh, come on, get back in bed. And it's like, okay. And then there's just not really, like, there's a sexy dynamic between the two characters, but there's not a loving dynamic between the two characters. And I don't think it ever gets to that point at any point in the story. Like, again, my headcanon is like, we're Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but polyamorous. Like, we're just having sex with whoever we want, but we go back to each other at the end of the night. Like, love that. I think it's great. But none of that is like real. None of that is in the actual story.
I think the hottest take I have on it is the reason that Dragon Age 2 has so much really good romance fan fiction is because we're trying to fill in the gaps of the game, because there's so much potential for really good narratives there, and they just didn't have the time to do it. That's what happens when you take a game that's supposed to be a DLC and make it its own game and give you an insane timeline to get it done.
And I think with Isabella specifically in that, and this is kind of why I think DA2 ranks really low, is that it is that fast switch, because even your like closing scene, because you get like, before you go in and fight Orsino and Meredith, there's like, you get that scene with your romance person, unless you're a psychopath like me who romance Anders and then stabs him. And there's all this kind of stuff, like, you know, this moving from the point of, oh, I love you, like, we'll be together forever. And then you get to Inquisition and none of them really like they might be together, but they're not together.
Well, that's what happens when you're a fugitive from everyone.
That's fair. Well, since Austin brought up Anders, I will just go ahead, because I have issues with Anders. And I know that usually Austin is the Anders hater here, but I do think that specifically a friend romance with Anders as a female hawk is the worst romance, for many reasons, because a friend romance of Anders is basically like you co-signing all of his actions. Like, you don't get to like critique him anymore. Like, you're just, okay, yeah, you can blow up all this chantry. You can kill a bunch of people in Kirkwall. I don't care. It's fine. But also, I've said this on the podcast before, if you are a female hawk, and you romance Anders, he does not tell you about his previous relationship with Carl. And I think that's messed up. And I don't like that. So Anders is my answer.
Agreed. It's my big thing. It's always honesty. Honesty and communication. And Anders is bad at both of those things.
Yeah. I heard someone say one time that in response to like the Carl thing, that he only romances like that the male hawk playthrough and the femme hawk playthrough are different. And because he's player sexual, he only romances Carl in that history timeline if you are a male hawk.
That's makes even no worse sense to me. Yeah, that's horrible. I feel like that is, I don't know, I have a hard time with it, because it's just kind of like, and I don't know if it actually is biphobic, but it feels really biphobic and misogynistic that they would make that choice of like, oh, well, you're a woman, so like, you're going to be jealous if I tell you about my past sexual history with a man. And it's like, no, on so many levels, that is messed up. So I dislike it. It feels very like stereotypical. Maybe that's the right word for it. I don't know.
It's an ick.
Mm-hmm. I also think it is like out of character. It would be out of character for Hawk. No matter which Hawk you're playing, to be like, oh, I'm going to be so jealous and judgmental about your past. When the entirety of reasons of Hawk's entire story is to forget the past and rebuild yourself in a new way in Kirkwall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Hawk is only judgy about blood magic, and only if you make them judgy about blood magic. And Mother Patrice.
Well... ugh. Everyone's judgy about Mother Patrice. Because is it judging if she deserves it?
I didn't say it was an unfair judgment.
It's just honesty there at is that a point.
Difference. Yeah. You can be judgy and still be correct. I am all the time. Mm-hmm.
That's a mood. Okay, who wants to go next?
Yeah, well, I actually... think that for the worst romances, it's got to be Meryl. I love her character. I think she's adorable, but she strikes me so much as like a kid. Like, it just feels so ew romancing her, especially like just in general, because you're either encouraging her to, like, the friendship manse is just, like, always encouraging her. It's like, yeah, you do whatever you want. It's like the stereotype of, it feels like gentle parenting to me, or what people think gentle parenting is, because that is not what it is, versus the, it just feels very parentified, and that's an ick for me. I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think, I've said a lot that I think a lot of the romance options, they just need a friend more than they need a romance. And I do think Meryl is in that category for sure.
I think, like, the rivalmance with Meryl is a lot better than the friendship mance, mainly because the rivalmance almost plays like, it is still, like, parentified, but it's more like, you are making bad decisions, and I care about you as a person, so please stop making bad decisions. But there's, I don't know if it deserves worst slot, though.
I just think narratively, it's not as compelling of a story as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just with everything that happens over Dragon Age 2, I think that it could have been written better. But I also think it's, again, with the time constraints that there's so much potential for good romances for these characters and so much more character development that they could have done, that they kind of have tried to do in the external media and in a little bit in Inquisition, because we do hear a little bit about some of these other characters. But I don't know, it's sad because there was so much potential there for stuff to have been even better than it already was. Because I love Dragon Age 2. It's one of my favorites ever. It could have been so much better looking back on it.
It's interesting because I think you could make the argument that Meryl, out of all of the companions in Dragon Age 2, has the most tenuous connection to the plot. Like, she doesn't really need to be there from a narrative perspective. Yeah, I think that's interesting. And it, you know, it goes back to just the weird dev schedule that they had, and you know, they did an amazing job with what they were given, but you know, if they ever wanted to do a Dragon Age 2 remake, they would have to really overhaul a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And that's interesting that you say this, because there is an interaction, I can't remember who says it, but if you're in Act 3 and you've romanced Meryl, one of your companions, I think it's either Anders or Fenris, they're basically like to Meryl, like, your people are gone. You don't have anything. Like, why are you still here? And Meryl's response is, I love Hawk. And so, like, even from a writing perspective here, it's like the only reason that she's there is because of Hawk.
I think it's Fenris who says that. Yeah, I mean, they could. I'm kind of hoping that if they're going to bring anyone else back, like bringing Meryl back, not as a companion, I think she wouldn't be a good companion, but just narratively having her in Dreadwolf would be really interesting. Because I don't know whose side she'd be on.
I have said for years now that she's an agent of Finn Harrell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My question is, does she know she's an agent of Finn Harrell? Because I could see her accidentally becoming an agent of Finn Harrell.
Or is it all an act? Of a ditz.
That would be even more compelling. Like, either way, that would be great storytelling.
Yeah, because she alone, of any other elf we've ever seen, like, her insults and curses that she uses, like, she uses Fenarel and Elgrinnon to swear, and, like, no other elf does that because they're too scared, basically. So, she's a rebel. Yeah, I think she'd be interesting as an agent of Solas. So, I don't think we should count it out as a possibility. Okay.
Well, it may be the easy answer, but I'm going to keep it within Dragon Age 2 and say Sebastian, because there is nothing there. Like, why would you make him romanceable if you're not going to go anywhere with it? Like, it's the dumbest thing they did in that DLC.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they shouldn't have even made him romanceable in the first place, because, like, what's the point?
This is my thing about it. Dragon Age is obviously, like, really capitalizing on the, like, D&D community, because, like, obviously 2 and Origins are built strongly off of 3.5 and everything like that. Like, their systems are based on D&D. Why would you make to a group who has historically dealt with a huge amount of religious trauma, and why would you give them a romance that's centered around, oh, let's not have sex because my religion tells me not to?
Yeah.
I think it could be interesting for there to be a romance between two ace characters that don't want to have sex, but they're romantically interested in each other. And I would like to see that sort of thing depicted in media, but that's not what we have, because Sebastian isn't written to be asexual. He's just...
Yeah, no, he was completely a player. I was going to say something else, but I'm going to refrain from using those words. Before he gets forced into the chantry. Like, he was a playboy. Mm. Nope, not gonna say it. Not gonna say it.
Yeah. So, and, like, I really get frustrated by Sebastian. And he came up real close to my worst, is because it's, like, it's just a portrayal of everything that is, like, super toxic about, like, oh, sex is so evil and you can't be a good person and be a sexual being. And there's too much of that in my everyday life that I don't want it in my video games.
Well, I also think about Sebastian. He could be an interesting character. Like, in the comics, he has a personality. Like, he is fun. He throws parties. He is back a little bit to that playboy lifestyle. But, like, in the comics, it feels like he is a completely different person than he is in Dragon Age 2. So I think there is, like, personality and room for him to be an interesting character. But I definitely think, took the easy way out, because I don't know why. But I feel like just them saying, oh, well, he's going to be celibate for this game, because we don't want to have to, like, write or animate or whatever the reason was. His romance felt cheap to me. So I do agree with you, Steven. I almost chose this one, but Anders took the lead just by a sliver for me.
I do have a question. Does Talis count?
No.
Isn't it just like a kiss?
Yeah, I mean, you can flirt with her the whole time.
I don't feel like that.
Yeah, counts. But I feel like sarcastic Hawk, like half of the shit they say is already like slightly flirty anyway. They're constantly flirting with everyone. So it's like, I think Hawk is just a flirt. Like, just because Purple Hawk is canon Hawk. Who are we kidding?
They should have named Dragon Age 2 Dragon Age Bisexual Panic.
Hawk really
makes
is
so
just
much sense.
This really flirty person who's been placed in the center of a bunch of traumatized people. And it's like,
and since Hawk is already traumatized too, it's just a response.
It's
are you
like,
sure you should be here, Hawk? Are you really improving their lives?
It's the perfect
the
opportunity.
No.
And like standing to be like a position to be the mom friend instead says, what if I was the opposite of that? But with that, we are out of time. It's time to wrap it up. So thank you all for being here. We'll just go around, tell anyone what you got going on, where they can find you. We'll go into the same order as before. So we'll start with the Crimson Knight.
Hello, I'm the Crimson Knight, or Steven, and I am at Discord as the Crimson Knight.
LVCC13.
I am LVCC13, or Lizzie. You can find me on Discord, and I am also playing the Wasp in the Avengers audio drama. You can find that on Spotify. Apple Podcasts and a few other podcatchers that I don't know the name of.
And then Capricorn Tower.
I'm Capricorn Tower, or Nick, and you'll see me giving live updates on my 500 Baldur's Gate files on the Discord.
That's a mood. But also with that, thank you all for being here. Thank you all for listening to the Dragon Age Lorecast. We will see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Dragon Age Lorecast. You can find us on Twitter at DALorecast.
If you have any lore questions, topics to unpack, or side character suggestions, join our Cups Podcasting and More Discord server. It's easily the best place on the internet. You can also support us financially through our Patreon. You can find us there on patreon.com/DragonAgeLorecast.
The Dragon Age Lorecast is part of the Robots Radio Network. For more information about the Robots Radio Network, join the Discord server via the link in our episode description.
If you enjoyed the show or learned something new today, please subscribe, leave us a review, and join the Patreon. And if you enjoyed our intro and outro music, give a big thank you to Pipe Man Studios. Thank you, Pipe Man. Thanks again for listening to the Dragon Age Lorecast. We'll see you next time.
Ever wanted to be a content creator but had no clue where to begin? Come join me as I sit down with content creators that have already faced the challenges you're up against, as they discuss the tips and tricks that help them be successful. Here on The Content Creator's Guide, available wherever podcasts can be found.